This is the OANDA podcast.
This is the Market Insights podcast, talking to OANDA senior market analysts across the world. Let's talk to Ed Moyer in New York. Good afternoon from London, Ed.
Hi, Johnny. Great to be back.
Let's start with the latest numbers from where you are in the United States, and the GDP figures have been revised higher.
Yes, I think it was a pleasant surprise. We saw upward revisions for the second reading of third quarter GDP. In addition to that, personal consumption got a big bump up too. And I think what we're seeing is there is still a lot of strength in this economy. And I do, though, always dig into the report. And when you take a closer look, I think you have to take it with a grain of salt. And there's some of these data points are pretty much in line with some of the other high frequency data we've been looking at. But there's still, I think, a clear trend that the economy is weakening. And I think that you're probably going to see some of the trade figures that really impact the GDP numbers. They can distort, you know, some of these readings. But I think we're still looking at an economy that is still it's in an expansion mode, but I think it's, you know, some people were, you know, a few months ago were thinking that this was going to be a negative reading. And you know, obviously there's been a lot of resilience in this economy. But you have to, you know, take a look at everything, you know, the GDP price index, that one was a little bit hotter than expected. But when you consider, you know, where it was, you know, it was, you know, closer to 9 at the, you know, peak of summer. So, you know, the trend is there. Pricing pressures are easing. So that is very positive, I think, for the fight against inflation. And then when you consider, you know, some of these other regional surveys, like the Chicago PMI reading, that one, you know, basically having a major decline this month. And I think there's clearly signs that the economy is weakening. But, you know, there's still a lot of job openings. The Fed's mission is going to be hard. You know, the JOLTS numbers coming in hotter than expected. ADP missed, but I think there was still job growth there. So you're getting an economy that is you know, slowly weakening. Personal consumption, though, that to me is the biggest surprise over, you know, since the last time we talked. You know, Cyber Monday, a record. I think for the last couple months, I've been talking about how low and some middle income households are starting to feel the pinch of inflation, and the data is not supporting that. I think it will, and I think some of that holiday spending that got done, it's probably, I think, Americans taking advantage of some of these discounts. And whereas a lot would wait till December and get much closer to the holidays to finalize their shopping, I think a lot of them, they just said, let's get it done early and fast and take advantage of these deals. So we'll see. But I think the economy is weakening. But still, the fascinating takeaway is that, you know, the base case scenario is there's more than a couple now. I mean, I guess then it's no longer the base case. I think you have some people anticipating that we're going to have a soft landing, some, you know, that this is going to be a short and shallow recession. Some people thinking that we're just going to miss it. We're not going to have a recession. So I think, you know, there's still expectations the U.S. growth story is going to be good. But no one is going to have a heavy positioning on that trade until we hear more from our Fed chair, and he's going to speak later today, and he'll probably stick to the script. And I think that's something, you know, we typically with Fed Chair Powell, he, you know, he wants to get all the information, and I think that you'll see that he'll say that the pace of hikes will slow, but they still have a lot more to do to bring down inflation. And I think that data, this round of data supports that. So we'll see what happens. But I think there's still a lot of optimism here that the economy is still doing pretty well. It's weakening, but it's still, you know, spending is strong. And that complicates people's long-term outlooks for stocks, because typically you want to see that recession. You want to see weakness put in place to really help bring down inflation. So, the Fed's inflation fight is going to be complicated, and it's going to be tough once, pricing pressures are down, but unemployment is, slowly ticking higher. So, well, lots to unfold, but I think what I'm looking for is, after this holiday period, I think that's when you'll see a lot of these jobs that have been created. A lot of them might go away, and we might get that first negative reading for the January report, which comes out the first week of February.
Okay, let's reflect a bit on the latest from China. Of course, earlier in the week, there were lots of concerns about the lockdown situation in China, and this has obviously had an effect on markets and particularly the likes of the oil price. But oil has rallied in recent days. Is that because of further news from China?
I think so. I think for a lot of people, oil, and I've been talking to reporters following my holiday break, and it's been fascinating. Everything we there's a wide amount of markets we cover. The oil market's been the hardest one because, yes, you have China demand in focus with some of these, the COVID zero policy. We've been seeing more restrictions, protests. But then you also have the OPEC Plus decision, which just got turned to a virtual meeting. You also have the Russian price cap, Russian crude price cap. That is expected to get set in place, the first week of December. So, I think there's a lot of variables that are really impacting, where people think oil is going to go, and it seems that there's probably, no strong confidence in the trade right now, because we've been told, we've seen the rumors about China reopening, and then that would later get squashed. Some there was some believing that the China opening story would, those talks would happen to help the protests ease. China has they're ramping up their efforts to vaccinate the elderly, but I think this is not the fight I think that President Xi wants to have. I think this is something that they're going, the pressure is pretty strong to reopen, and I think that given some of the market implications, I think you've seen that mobility in China is something that we're all closely following. And I think that once China is fully back reopened, I think you're probably looking at a $10 move higher in oil. I think there's expectations that you're going to see, there's been some easing of restrictions, especially for the where Apple parts are being made, and I think that you're probably going to see that OPEC Plus decision is going to be one of the most fascinating ones, because I think as oil was heading much lower, and it looked like there was a chance Brent was going to break below $80. I mean, I was thinking, you're going to get a pretty substantial cut from OPEC because they're going to send a message. But now oil's rebounded. So I think that that's going to be a fascinating meeting, because I think a lot that determines that is going to be where does oil trade during that meeting, and where does it seem it's going to hover around. So I think there's a lot of, I think, concerns that some of this weakness in oil prices was overdone. And I think what you're also going to see is, the U.S. is they play a big picture in this too. And I think their energy supervisor, Amos Hochstein, he's saying they're going to probably refill that SPR when oil consistently trades around the $70 range. So you have strong support, probably at 70. You have the markets dealing with the Russian crude price cap, that will, if for some reason they're not unable to reach an agreement, then the outright ban kicks in. So that would be rather a shock to the oil prices. But I think you're probably going to see that the market though is going to fixate over China, and if this market is seeing slow reopening progress here, that should only be supportive for crude prices. So we'll look to see, does, next week when we talk, are we talking Brent back at 90? And I think there's a good chance that that you'll see that, if China continues to ease up on some of those COVID rules, then there'll be strong supporting arguments that that could happen.
Okay, let's talk cryptocurrency now. And we've seen over the last few hours Bitcoin jump above $17,000 and Ethereum has surged as well. It's been a traumatic period for crypto right across the board. Why the current rises in these cryptos?
That's a great question. I think when you take a look at the headlines, it really seems that the news has been not too constructive for taking on more positions. We had the BlockFi bankruptcy, where it seems that we're focused on trying to figure out how much money is left, how much money is still going to be available to hopefully make some investors not lose everything. But I think there's this belief that we fully priced in the FTX contagion part right now, it seems. Now, if there's a new major player, if there's a stable coin that goes under, then watch out. Then the recent lows will probably get tested, and the momentum selling could easily send prices sharply lower. 13,500 key level. Some people targeting 10,000, others even 4,000. I think though there's optimism that the focus though is going to kind of shift back to crypto policy, and I think what we're going to see is, there's going to be a fast track here for the U.S. government to, find out what they're going to do with crypto legislation. December 1st, there's a Senate hearing where we'll hear from the CFTC chair, and he's gonna have a hard time answering questions on, how could FTX happen? What rules were in place for them to kind of help avoid that. And I mean, I think you're going to see that you're going to have a much more aggressive decision and movement to get, okay, we're going to get the SEC. SEC is going to be the lead on this, or I think we're probably going to see that this crypto market's going to be as heavily regulated, probably even more so than the stock market. And once those rules are in place, and then you're going to, I think, see more consumer protections put in place, and I think some of that is going to be positive long term for crypto. But short term, I think, some of these rules could cripple some companies. Some of them might put extra strain on some stable coins. So, I think there's a lot that needs to be learned from the FTX collapse. And will we get all the answers, after that first hearing? Definitely no. Will we get more answers? Will we see what what Congress is thinking that needs to be done to regulate this industry? Yes. Are there a lot of jobs tied to crypto? Well, there were, and I think there's still potential that there could be. So there's I think expectations here that this industry is going to get that regulation a lot sooner, and the space will get cleaned up. Now, you know, it should be volatile as we see the guidelines get put in place, but overall, this is very positive long term for crypto. But you know, it's going to be a roller coaster ride until we get there.
Okay, Ed, thanks very much for joining us. We'll speak to you again very soon.
Thank you. Pleasure was all mine.
This is the Oanda Podcast.